Does it make any sense that a normal, healthy person would choose death over life? And yet we see, amplified in the latest atrocities going on in Israel, that there is a culture of death, martyrdom. So this compels us to look a little deeper into who we human beings are, what defines us. It would seem that every human being gravitates to do anything possible to preserve life, your own life and the life of others. But when you see a very different type of, I don't want to call it philosophy, a different type of behavior, completely antithetical to that, it behooves us to dig deeper into the human soul. And it brings to mind a verse in the Bible, which most people would say seems so obvious, but in times like this verse suddenly resounds with tremendous import, tremendous relevance. So please join me in this important discussion, in the spiritual war that we're battling in this time. Choose life. Choose life. Hi, this is Simon Jacobson, and we will be speaking about Choose Life. This program is dedicated by Aaron and Rebecca Horowitz in honor of our brave IDF soldiers and Israeli security forces. It would seem obvious that any normal, healthy person would choose life over death. Would anyone in their right mind choose death over life? It's not biologically the way we're wired. You'll see people, God forbid even, who try to take their lives. It's not easy because the human being is wired in a way to preserve. We talk about everything to survive, to preserve life. And yet we see that there is a culture of death, where there are people who advocate death over life. And it makes you wonder, because it's very hard to wrap your head around something that you yourself are not capable of. Just like it was almost impossible to imagine the atrocities that happened on October 7th, the atrocities that happened by the Nazis back in the 30s and 40s, early 40s. Because if you're not capable of something, you don't imagine someone else's. But when you see it, what it does, it can shock you and overwhelm, or it compels us to look deeper, to understand what is life and death. Basically, darkness helps you appreciate light, and death helps you appreciate life. So what jumps out is a verse in the Bible that usually you would consider to be an obvious statement. But when you think about it in this context, you realize its relevance, its tremendous relevance. So let's read together this verse in the Bible. It's in the book of Deuteronomy 30, 15, and 16. I'll do a loose translation. Behold, I present you today with the path of life and the path of good, of goodness, as well as the path of death and the path of evil. And then he continues and says the following. I call heaven and earth to witness to witness. These two paths, to witness on this day, these two paths, the path of life and death, blessing and curse. And then he continues with a command, choose life. In order that you and your offspring shall live, choose life. And as I said, in most instances, it would seem obvious. Does someone have to be told to choose life? But when you see battles, literally, between good and evil, between darkness and light, light and darkness, you suddenly appreciate this statement. So let's define what life and what death is and what the verse is telling us. And why do we need heaven and earth to be witnesses when it seems, again, something so natural? So life and death on a biological level, we all know what that means. Life is, the heart is beating, the brain is working, the vital organs are functioning. And there's the biological medical definition of when that ceases, they declare someone as, God forbid, dead. But we also know life and death is not just physical and biological. There's also, you can be alive, and God forbid, a person could be like a vegetable. A person could be alive and walking around and moving, and all the organs are functioning properly, but they feel like a zombie, emotionally dead, intellectually dead. You hear this all the time. I feel dead inside. I feel dead inside, not motivated. So what the Bible is telling us is the following. That life in general, the way God created the world, is like we read right at the beginning of Genesis, there's light and there's dark. God separated the day from night and light from dark. That's not just a physical separation. It's a separation of two approaches to life. Materialism, by definition, is really not alive because it can't exist with something sustaining it. Spirituality, truths, values, is truly alive because it stands on its own feet because of its powerful value. In other words, anything that's temporary and mortal, that will ultimately deteriorate and perish, even while it exists, you can't really call it fully alive. Something that has eternal value, even if it dies, you call it alive. That's why there's a statement that the wicked, even in their lifetimes, they're called dead. And the righteous, even in their deaths, they're called alive. You see something alive, actually, when they're physically, it's not there. You see the legacy, the children, the grandchildren. You see what's left, what perpetuates, the perpetuity of these values demonstrates true life. So what the Torah and the Bible is saying is that in life, you're going to always have two choices. Are you going to choose the immediate instant gratification that may for a second be pleasurable, but it doesn't have any eternity to it, or will you choose the path of eternity? That's in a broader sense. In a more specific sense, and we see that today, life is what God gave us. God said, live by my laws. That's why you'll find in Jewish law, and I'm sure in other laws, when there's danger to life, it overrides all other laws. So for example, if a person is in danger and they have to eat something that's completely not kosher according to Torah, and it's on Yom Kippur when you're supposed to fast, not only are you allowed to eat, you're supposed to eat because life comes before everything. There are exceptions, three exceptions, but that's not relevant to our discussion right now, because those three things, like murdering someone or incest or idolatry, they themselves are death. But in general, the path of life, because God says, I have given you life. It's the life I have given you. It's not because you like to live and you want to preserve yourself, survival of the fittest. It's because my life that I've given you is sacred. It's divine. That's why there are laws that say that you're not allowed to mutilate yourself. You're not allowed to hurt yourself. Even if you can claim and argue, hey, you're not hurting anyone else. It's not your life to touch. It's a gift that was given. Someone gives you a gift. You don't tamper with it. Your own life, and for sure the life of others. So life is essentially divine. So the fact that somebody can decide, either I'm ready to martyr myself in the name of whatever distorted, obscene, you know, they were the kamikazes of the Japanese because the emperor said they flew right into ships and killed themselves. Suicide bombers. So killing another is obvious, but even yourself, there's something distorted about that. That cannot be godly. That cannot be godly. That's a manipulation of people being convinced that if you kill yourself, you'll be go straight to heaven. As many terrorists have testified, they said, either way we win. Either I kill the enemy, or I get killed, and then I go to heaven. That's a culture that is anti-God, no matter what, even if it's in the name of God and so on. The fact that there were martyrs in the name of God was not because they chose to kill others and kill themselves, it's because they were forced to. Yes, we call the 6 million Jews in the Holocaust martyrs, kedoshim, sacred ones, but it's not because they chose that, because they were killed simply because they were Jewish. We can call the 1,400 that were massacred brutally on October 7th martyrs, but that's the exact opposite. They wanted life, they chose life. Someone else imposed their own will in the most disgusting and barbaric fashion. But a person should actively choose. That's what the Torah, the Bible, and the Torah is telling us here. There will be two paths. And choose life, because that's the path of life is the path of God. The path of light and blessing. And we're told, heaven and earth are witnesses. Because heaven and earth have been here from the beginning of time. Humans, you can say, okay, I heard it from my parents, I heard it from my grandparents. Heaven and earth are witness. In other words, in the very existence, God said, I am creating two witnesses that will be with you throughout history. And they will watch. And they will testify what you've done. And they will bear witness to the behavior that people have. And that will be a perpetual witness. It will not be forgotten. It will not be denied. It will not be lied about. As we see those that deny crimes. Heaven and earth bear witness. Perhaps silent witness, it may not be that loud, but it's absorbed. And they see who's chosen the path of life and who's chosen the path of death. So to take this a step further, to look at the actual verse again about bearing witness. You see, the dignity of life is the dignity of God is because it has a purpose to it. God created every human being on this earth for a reason. Anyone that comes and says, I will extinguish a life, God forbid, is essentially saying to God, I ignore you, I overrule you, and I decide. So you're not just going against human beings, you're going against the very essence of creation itself. That is why, yes, even suicide, and this is not a judgmental statement, there are people, whether it's due to mental illness or other things that are not always in their control, but suicide is considered to be a crime against God. And I'm not getting into the fact that some people do it because of their great pain. That's not what we're discussing here. Why? Because you're talking about God said, I've given you life. Yes, can life be difficult? Yes. I've given you all the strengths you need to deal with all the challenges in life. So you're dealing with the very plan of existence. I mean, it may sound a little odd to bring this into the picture, but I believe I shared this story right before the new year. I received a call from someone listening to my classes and shares with me. He works in the lumber business, logging. And as a big company in Pennsylvania is based. And he said to me, you know, I learned much from your classes, but there's one thing especially that I'd like to share with you. He says, you told a story of one of the great rebbes when he was a little child was walking with his father in a garden. And they were talking, and the little child ripped off a leaf from a tree, started rubbing it. And his father reprimanded him and said, what right do you have to rip off a leaf? The leaf has its own trajectory, its own journey. By ripping it off for no reason, you have intruded into its journey. What right do you have to do that? And he thought to himself, this fellow tells me, I'm not just ripping off a leaf, I'm cutting down trees. So yes, it's being used for good purposes and so on. But the interesting thing, he says, 20% of the tree is left, the stump is left. So that part is not being used. So I said, one second, if a leaf is so sacred, how could I just leave these stumps? And I asked my engineers, and we figured out, even though at cost to us, how to even use that stump as well. It shouldn't be thrown out, it shouldn't be wasted. So he says, so you affected my business plan and actually costing me more money, but I feel more doing the right thing. Now, this is a leaf of a tree. How much more so a human being? A sacred soul placed inside of a body. What the Torah is telling us, the Bible is telling us, life is sacred. Value it. Because as soon as you take away the sanctity of life and the indispensable value of life, you take away everything. How important would be our choices and our decisions if life is not sacred, if it's all negligible, if it's all arbitrary, if it's all optional? Yes, birth, life, is God saying you matter. You. And that you are indispensable. And the world cannot exist without you. There's something, a role you have to play that you and only you can fulfill. And the entire cosmic musical composition is not going to be complete without your playing your note, your music, your song. That is the attitude that we were taught by Abraham, our great grandfather, father of all nations. And that is the attitude that the Bible confirms and states, that heaven and earth itself are bearing witness, are you choosing life? And obviously, not choosing the opposite. And this isn't about just about others. That's a given, not to hurt someone else. But even about yourself. And if you see, quote unquote, a religion or a belief system that feels that death is more powerful than life, then you have to ask yourself, this is a religion of God's? This is what Abraham taught. This is what the Bible teaches. God gave life and said, live life. He said, do not destroy. Not even the name of my name, even the name of God, do not destroy. If there's a need for discipline, if there's a need for a market correction, so to speak, that's all part of the healing, not part of the death, not part of a death culture. Now, I don't want to turn this into something too philosophical because we're dealing with, unfortunately, the blood is still warm of the deaths that have taken place in that region. Graves are open. There are people who have still not been identified. So our hearts and our emotions and our pain is tremendous about that. But at the same time, it tells us what the battle and the war should be like. And that is a battle for life. So when this is forced upon us, something we did not want, yes, we join the battle everywhere in the world. So when we see a battle thrust upon us that cherishes and worships death more than life, our response is not only, don't touch us, don't hurt us. That's a given. That we will wage a battle that's stronger in our love for life and choosing life than their choice of death. That's how you fight the battle. That's what this biblical verse is telling us. Choose life. And heaven and earth on the entire planet is watching. So we have a role to play wherever we are, whether it's on the front lines physically, in the Middle East, in Israel, Gaza. We're all on the front lines in this choice. That we need to demonstrate more than ever before how we choose life and we choose light. We choose to bring life to ourselves, to others, to be kinder, gentler, more generous, more refined, and teach it to everyone. Choose life. That should be the banner that we should announce and proclaim to the entire world. Choose life. What a tremendous statement. What a tremendous declaration. Because with everything else follows from there. We're told that when you attach yourself to the source of life, you become alive. As I mentioned, the eternal life comes only from spiritual life. It comes from something that is a value that's greater than just the material world. But at the same time, that's part of the sanctity of life in this material world. It's not just choosing spirituality over material. It means materialism on its own, yes, is lifeless. But the goal is, and God sent the souls down to this world into the bodies to live in a material world, to live in a world that can be dark, to live in a world where people can choose the opposite of life and choose life, choose light, love. That, my friends, is the battle of our times, the ultimate battle. So the battles have to be fought on a very practical level simply because there's an enemy who is attacking and ready to attack innocent men, women, and children, and namely Jews. And the Jewish response is, we open up the Bible, choose life. We have chosen life, and that's what we're fighting for. We're not just fighting against death. We're fighting for life. Let us all join together in this ultimate battle, this unprecedented demonstration of what, who we are as humans, what our mission is that God has given us. And when we do that, there's no question it will overwhelm and dispel the darkness, the curse, the death from the other path. Not just eradicate it, but ultimately transform it, a world where all the toxins of this world will be eliminated. A world filled with divine knowledge as the waters cover the sea, and therefore there will be no more evil and destruction. May that be quickly, painlessly. The hostages that have been taken should be released unharmed. And God should console and comfort all those families who've lost loved ones and protect the brave soldiers who are protecting and defending innocent men, women, and children. May God protect all human beings, especially the Jewish people in Israel, in the Holy Land, Jews everywhere, as I said, the entire world. And we will witness and experience, when we choose life, the ultimate life of personal and global redemption. This has been Simon Jacobson, MeaningfulLife.com. We've established an entire section, department, you can call it a war department, spiritual war department, MeaningfulLife.com/war in Israel. You can find constantly updated resources, articles, videos, many, many videos that offer empowering resources, tools, clarity, direction, guidance, hope, confidence, strength. Choose life. Yes, choose life. Love to hear your thoughts, your feedback, comments, and please share. Please share and pass it on. Subscribe to our growing YouTube channel. God bless you. May you live and be healthy and well, you and your families and every other person on this earth. Thank you so much.
This program is brought to you by the Meaningful Life Center. Please help us continue our programs. Make even a small contribution at meaningfullife.com/donate.